This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Firstly, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brothers and sisters, we finished Yunus alayhi salam, and we mentioned a few prophets. Just before that, after Musa alayhi salam, after Harun alayhi salam, few prophets we went through: Al-Yasa', Dhul-Kifl, Ilyas, alayhimu salatu salam. We did Yunus alayhi salam last week. And now we come to another episode. Again, these are prophets that have been sent to Banu Israel. They are all beloved to us. All of them are very much beloved to us. And all of them are examples for us. Allah has told us to take example from them. And we're going to now come to Dawood alayhi salam and Sulaiman alayhi salam. Now, Dawood alayhi salam and Sulaiman, they were both prophets whom Allah had given two things to. He had given them prophethood, and also he had made them kings. Now, this is rare in a prophet, because prophets alayhim salatu salam, they don't sort of go after this world. And if you look at most prophets, they just want to lead a simple life away from the wealth of this dunya. And they want to just follow the footsteps of all the other prophets, which is the dunya is something which, okay, fine, you deal with it, you touch it, you handle it and so on, you earn your livelihood, but you don't want to sort of have a lot of it. But Allah's blessing is such that He made Dawood alayhi salam a king, and He made Sulaiman alayhi salam a king. And this tells us that there's nothing wrong, as long as your heart is in the right place, there's nothing wrong of you being in charge of a lot of wealth, of you having a lot of wealth or having a lot of power on the earth. Okay? And it also tells us, because there's a lot of politics that had to be played for Dawood alayhi salam to not only come into power, but to stay in power. Now, when we hear the word politics, we kind of think of a negative thing. Politics can be clean and it can be dirty. Although in recent times, it's hard to find the cleanliness of politics. Most of it has been dirty. But there's a lot of, when we say politics, we mean that there's a lot of people that might challenge one another in authority and so on and so forth. And there's a tug of war going on. And these things, you know, they have to face to come to power. Now, let's get to the episode of Dawood alayhi salam. Now, Dawood alayhi salam, he comes to power, but before he comes to power, there's a whole line of things that happen. And I need to take you back to a few weeks when we talked about the end of Musa alayhi salam's time. And I said to you quite clearly that after Musa alayhi salam, Yusha bin Nun, Yusha alayhi salam, became the prophet. Even when Musa alayhi salam was on the earth, right underneath him, Yusha alayhi salam became an upcoming individual, and later on he became the prophet after Musa alayhi salam's demise. Because Harun alayhi salam passes away first, then it's Musa alayhi salam, then Yusha comes into power. Now, what Yusha alayhi salam he did is, after the 40 years, because remember they were banished from the holy land for 40 years because of the fact that they never went inside, they made mockery out of it. They were told to go inside, but they said, you know, oh Musa, you get up and you take your Lord and you fight them, we're not going inside there. And Allah had said, look, you just walk in there and they'll flee the land. This was the holy land. This is Jerusalem, or you want to call it Palestine, in its entirety, that Allah was going to give the Banu Israel. And He sent Musa alayhi salam with them, and at the last moment they sort of showed their weakness. And because of that, Allah banished them for 40 years from taking any land in Palestine, any part of Palestine. So they wander around in the desert. And Musa alayhi salam did the same thing. And in the end, Musa alayhi salam passes away. And his last wish was that he is buried near right at the holy city. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has even told us where he is by red sort of hill, and Musa alaihi wasallam sort of buried somewhere close to there. We don't know exactly where he is. Now, Yusha alayhi salam then, after the 40 years, takes his people, takes the Banu Israel back towards Palestine. And this time what happens is, he manages to get Jericho, which is, I said, J-E-R-I-C-H-O, if you check that up, you'll find it in larger Palestine, and Jerusalem. When we say Jerusalem, we don't mean the whole of Palestine, we mean these are now parts of Palestine they've taken over. They need to have the whole of Palestine, or Palestine, in their ownership. So these are two places they've taken over, and Allah Azza wa Jalla has given them something, okay, that they're back in near the Holy Land, and of course they want to, make this the center place of all their worship. And Allah has made this place, obviously, the Qibla, which we know was the Qibla of all the Anbiya, Masjid al-Aqsa, or the Dome of the Rock, and so that sort of whole place. Because don't forget, Dome of the Rock, people think that the Dome of the Rock, where you've got the golden dome, they think, oh, that's not Masjid al-Aqsa. Okay, some people think that is the Masjid al-Aqsa. Some people say that is Masjid al-Aqsa, and the pictures have been going around and so on. And some others you will see that they've sent around, they've said that the Silver Dome, which is, there's another mosque there, a small one, smaller than basically, or looks smaller than rather, than the Dome of the Rock, which is actually not smaller, it's actually quite big. They say that is Masjid al-Aqsa, and that's what we need to protect, and forget the Dome of the Rock. Now, when I went to Palestine, and I went and started to research what it was, the whole place, the Dome of the Rock, with the Golden Dome, the Silver Dome, which is known actually as Jami' al-Qibli, okay, that one, including the entire vicinity, which is a massive wall that surrounds both these compounds, or both these pieces, monuments, all of it is Masjid al-Aqsa. All of it. Okay? So, let's not go into all of this, but this is the centerpiece that has become the Qibla for all the Anbiya. And that's what Musa alayhi salam wanted. He wanted to be, in this vicinity. And this is what Dawud alayhi salam later on gets. His kingdom overstretches all of this. Okay? The whole of Palestine gets into his hands. Now, how does this all happen? Because now Banu Israel have just left. I mean, what happened is, one of the reasons why they were banished for 40 years is because Allah wanted the generation that had become corrupt, because this generation was they grew up with Fir'aun. They grew up in front of Fir'aun, and they were battered. One moment after another, the women were raped, and they faced defeat after defeat, and they were slaves. And they were sons of slaves, so they had a slave mentality. So Allah Azza wa Jalla wanted to change all of that. So He sent them to the desert for 40 years, and a new whole generation came up. And this generation now, with Yusha alayhi salam, they managed to take over Jericho and Jerusalem. Now, when they took over these two parts, the main aim obviously was to take the whole of Palestine. Now, how do they actually do this? Because one big problem happened is Yusha alayhi salam, he passes away. And then there are many different judges that rule over Banu Israel. There is no other prophet. There are other prophets there. Don't forget, there are prophets. But there's not a prophet for them that is suitable to try and take over Palestine. They want to take over the entire area, because Allah has told them that this will become yours. Now, there are many judges that rule over this Banu Israel who've taken these two sort of parts. And then what happens is they have a huge sort of racism between them. Okay, just as some Muslims today have inherited this kind of racist attitude towards one another because of our color skin, because of where we are from the world, and so on and so forth. It exists in the Muslim world. And it exists the same, or probably worse, in the Jewish world. Okay? So it's not I think racism is really a human problem. It's not a religious thing, it's a human problem. But anyway, racism got the better of it. And what happened is, once they had many clans, don't forget there were already 12 tribes of Banu Israel, And one would fight another, and the other one would fight this one, and so on. And they never got together to become one unit to try and get together, get an army, and take over the entire area. Until about 1,000 years before Isa alayhi salam comes. About 1,000 years, we don't know exactly when, but about 1,000 years before that, what happens is that they manage to get together, and now they've actually got, at this moment, they've got a prophet amongst them. Don't forget, look, when I say there's, after Yusha, there's no prophet, what I mean is that there's never been a prophet who's taken them back to war again to take over the entire area. Though there have been prophets. Now the prophets have come through a particular son of Yaqub alayhi salam. Yaqub alayhi salam had 12 sons. And Lawi was one of his sons, and from there most of the prophets have come. Now, what they had done is they had the people who would be the kings of Banu, the people who would be in charge of Banu Israel. They would come from the son of Yehuda. Yehuda was one of the sons of Yaqub alayhi salam. We get the name the Yehud. Okay, Yehuda is a son of Yaqub alayhi salam. And from him runs all the people who've actually started to become kings, or those people who've been in charge of sovereignty. And then you have, like I said, Lawi, who's the one who, from him, all the sort of prophets came. Now, the current prophet who they had after so many generations with judges ruling over them and, others. The current prophet they had was Samuel. Okay? Samuel. Who we know from the biblical terms as well. Now this reference of all of this, if you want to find further tafsir of this, you need to go to Surah Baqarah, ayah number 246. Okay? Surah Baqarah, ayah number 246. What had happened is that they went to war. Okay? This was just before Samuel, alayhi salam. The Banu Israel went to war and they had a massive defeat because they were the Palestinians. Now the Palestinians were another nation at that time, okay, who had the majority of Palestine in their hands. And only Jericho and Jerusalem are under Banu Israel. So they went to war with the Palestinians and they lost. They lost so badly that the Palestinians of that time, meaning, when I say Palestinians, I mean the original people living in that land, okay? I don't want you to mix them up with what's going on today, right? Please. So, what happened is that they lost the war. The Palestinians of that time, they took their women as slaves. They took their children as slaves. They killed their men, whoever were in the captives of war. And they took a really important thing away from them. This was more important than any other loss that they had. Okay? And this piece is also mentioned in the Quran. They had something called the Ark of the Covenant. Now the Ark of the Covenant, if you check it up, you'll see images of it on Google and so on. It's like a large chest. It's decorated with gold. And inside there are the relics or the leftovers of Musa and Harun alayhi salam. And parts of the original, the tablet that Musa alayhi salam brought back from Mount Tur when he came with the revelation, parts of that is inside there, parts of other pieces are inside there. Some say that even some part of the man, or the beautiful, gift that Allah gave them to eat from the heavens and so on. This is also inside there, Allahu alam. But definitely there are pieces of Musa alayhi salam, original revelation from Allah Azza wa Jalla, are inside this golden chest. And this is something that they used to carry, two people used to carry, and they used to move it along with Banu Israel. Now every time they've had a war with Yusha alayhi salam, when they came back to take over Palestine and they took over Jericho and they took over Jerusalem, what they did is they put the covenant in front of them. And they made a prayer to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And Allah then, through the barakah and the blessings of this, because this is a holy peace revealed from Allah Azza wa Jalla, directly given from the skies, they would get a win over the enemies and they would beat the enemies. And every time they had another war, they would do this. Now in this particular war they had, just before Samuel, They not only lost their children, whoever was captives of war, they not only lost some of the women, the Palestinians of that time, they took the Ark of the Covenant. Now this caused great distress to them, because like, whoa, how can we go back to war without this thing? Now what happens is, they say to Samuel, who is a judge and a prophet. Okay, he's a prophet, alayhi salam, and he's also a judge amongst them. So Allah Azza wa Jalla says this in 2:46 of Surah number 2. He says, "Alam tara ila al-mala'i min bani Israel min ba'di Musa." Do you not see the group of people of the Banu Israel after Musa alayhi salam? "Idh qalu li nabiyyin lahum," when they said to a prophet amongst them, who was Samuel, "Ib'ath lana malikan nuqatil fi sabilillah." "Oh Samuel, can you not please give us a king, somebody amongst Banu Israel, who could stand up and who could fight with us in the path of God?" Okay. Now this was their type of jihad. Okay. Now, if you look in the Bible, you'll find a lot of references of jihad. Jihad means, you know, holy war. And if you want to find the biggest holy wars, you go to the Bible and you find it full of it. And so this is one reference towards it. Okay. Now, Samuel said to them, alayhi salam, says, "Hal asaytum in kutiba alaykum al-qital alla tuqatilu." He said, maybe, because he knew what these people were. He knew that they had so many factions and divisions between them. And he knew that when their time would come for them to fight, right at the moment, they might just turn around and they might just flee. So he said, look, if God, Allah Azza wa Jal, through me as the Prophet, tells me that this is the time for you guys to actually go to war, then maybe you might not go. Maybe you might not fight. And they then said, "Wa ma lana alla nuqatila fi sabilillah." They said, "Oh Samuel, oh Prophet Samuel." They said, "Why would we not want to fight? Because we have now been, we've lost some territories. We've been thrown out of the places where we had the houses. Wa abna'ina, and even our children have been lost to these people." Like, you know, the Palestinians of the time that took their children, they're complaining about that. فَلَمَّا كُتِبَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقِتَالِ, Allah says, when finally the fighting was written for them, they actually turned back. Now, this whole story, now how did they turn back? What was the fighting? Now Allah says that in the coming verses. So you've got to see now that the explanation of this is coming in the coming verses. So, Samuel says to them, وَقَالَ لَهُمْ نَبِيُّهُمْ, this is now ayah number 257. وَقَالَ لَهُمْ نَبِيُّهُمْ, their prophet Samuel alayhi salam says, "Inna Allaha qad ba'atha lakum Talut malika." Allah has told me that amongst you there is a man called Talut. In the biblical terms, he's known as Saul. I think it's S-A-U-L. Okay, Saul. Is that how you pronounce it? S-A-U-L. Is that how you pronounce it? Saul. Saul, okay. Now Saul was a magnificent person amongst them. He was very brave, he knew how to fight, and so on. And Samuel, alayhi salam, says, Allah has made him your king now. And Allah said, he is the one that will take you to war, and you will win if you have a Saul with you. Talut. Let's just refer to him as Talut. Now what happens here is, they object. They say, the problem. What is the problem, says Samuel? They said, the problem is, we know that all prophets in Banu Israel, they've descended from Lawi, the son of Yaqub, the son of Jacob. Lawi, from him, all the prophets have descended. And this man, he's not from them. So how can he be a person who will take us to war, a person who will fight? And they had another objection towards him. Their objection was that he he's also not from, this is the other objection, he's also not from the son Yehuda, from whom all the kings have been of Bani Israel. So there's a problem. And they also had another problem. They said, look, he's a poor person. How's he going to take us? He hasn't got the wealth. And Banu Israel knew that amongst them, those who had wealth were the most prominent ones. He hasn't even got any money. Poor man. How is he going to come over us? Now, Talut is a wonderful person. Why? Allah Azza wa Jal, through the mouth of Samuel. So Samuel is the prophet. He tells him, look, Allah has given him things which give him the right to be a king over you. And what is that? They had objected. This is all in the ayah 257. He says, "Inna Allah astafahu alaykum." Allah has chosen him for you. وَزَادَهُ بَسْطَةً فِي الْعِلْمِ وَالْجِسْمِ. Two things this man Talut or Saul has. This man Talut or Saul, he has got in. Allah has given him a lot of knowledge of how to do things, even politics and how to play all of that. Knowledge of warfare, he had. Knowledge of how to, you know, take the army forward and fight with them. All these knowledge Allah gave. While jism, Allah had given him power to his body. Now, subhanAllah al-Azim, this is a big lesson for us here. Why? Because, you know, sometimes you kind of, because of the way we are, we think that this person is not fit for the job. Why? Because he doesn't have this credential, that credential, this thing. He doesn't have this paper. He doesn't have not done this degree. No. Allah is teaching us through this that sometimes people that don't fit the criteria, they can still be the person who does the job. And here's Talut that will fit that. Now, that's not enough for the Banu Israel. Because Banu Israel are no way. They gave Musa alayhi salam a very hard time. Forget Samuel taking his word for Talut now for Talut to become their king, and they're going to go to war with this man. No way. Now Samuel added on, he said, "Wallahu yu'ti mulkahu man yasha." Allah can give his kingdom to whoever he wants. "Wallahu wasi'un 'alim." And Allah is one who is, you know, he's most expansive in covering everything, and alim, he's most wise. But then he added on, Samuel alayhi salam added on, as a sign for them to accept Talut. He said, Samuel says, "Inna ayat mulkihi." This is now ayah number 258. "Inna ayat mulkihi." The sign of Talut, Saul, becoming your king is, you will see Allah will bring back the Ark of the Covenant. Without a fight, He's going to bring that to you first. And you will see angels will carry this Ark of the Covenant, that golden chest I was talking about. Inside there, Musa alayhi salam and Harun alayhi salam, relics are inside there. And they had part of the original revelation from the tablet inside there. What they did is they came out, they saw, subhanAllah, they saw the angels. I mean, they didn't see actually the angel, but he was like, you know, floating in the air. But Allah had revealed in the Quran, تَحْمِلُهُ الْمَلَائِكَ. The angels carried it from the Palestinians all the way across to where the Banu Israel were. And in front of Talut, this whole Ark of the Covenant golden chest came in front of them, and it was put right in front of them, and they were convinced. This is a sign. Wow! Now we've got the very piece which we used to put in front of us, and we used to pray to Allah, and because of that, Allah used to give us victory. So now they're ready for war. So they say, okay, Talut or Saul, tell us what to do. He says, fine. He said, gather the armies together. He got Banu Israel together. They came in their numbers. And they came in their thousands together. But of course, amongst the Banu Israel, there were many who were not actually going to fight. So there needed to be a test to remove the people who will actually flee. Look, this is the problem, guys. If you go to a fight, and if you say, look, there's just, you know, 10 of us. 10 of us who are prepared to fight all the way through. You've got a good chance. If all 10 are really, you know, in for it, you've got a good chance of winning. But if you've got amongst you another 40, they say, no, we want to come with you. And they're not as serious. And they go with the 10. You're part of the 10. And you go forward. And when you get to a certain point, when you see your enemies, the 40 say, brav, you know, I've had enough, brav. Yeah? Got back in, huh? Work is in about 2 hours, brav. Can't end up going with my smash face over there. Now imagine they 40 of them, if they start running, that will cause a lot of distress, and it will bring weakness into the 10. Yes or no?
Yes.
You're better off just going yourself with the 10 and saying, you lot, just leave us behind. Now, they've all joined together. How do you know who's serious to fight, because Banu Israel have had a history. They've even told Musa alayhi salam to go and fight with Allah. Okay, and they sat there, they said, we'll sit here, you go and fight. So they've got a history. Now, how do you just tell people to just move out and not come along with you? So Allah placed a test, and this is something that Talut, he begins to tell them. They went across, they came across the river Jordan. Right now, if you look at the river Jordan, it goes, runs all the way through Palestine. So they're coming across to river Jordan. As they were coming across there, he said, Allah is going to now test you. This is in ayah number 249 of the Quran. فَلَمَّا فَصَلَ طَالُوتُ بِالْجُنُودِ When Talut came out with his army, and they were already moving across the plains to go and fight their enemies, to take over Palestine. And don't forget, Palestine, the main part, where this, today we know, where the, you know, the Dome of the Rock, the Masjid al-Aqsa, all of that is, there were some huge tyrants that were living there, and from them there were certain giant looking like people. And these were the same sort of people that were in the time of Musa alayhi salam. Obviously now their sons are there. Okay? So before, the Banu Israel couldn't defeat them, and every time they've tried, they've never been able to defeat them. And now they're coming across, they're going to have to fight these people, and Talut says, stop. He says, ahead of us, there is a river, the river Jordan. And when you come to it, anyone who starts to drink a lot from River Jordan, he takes in a lot of amount to drink, then you have to stay back. You can't move across with us after River Jordan. And any of you lot that come to River Jordan and we're thirsty, and you take just a sip with your hands, and just take a bit of water into your palm and just drink it. غُرْفَةً بِيَدِي If you do that, then you can move along with me. But don't sort of start to take loads of amounts, and don't try to fill in your containers and, you know, your bellies with water. Now there's two reasons why. Number one, they say, is that if you're, like, footballers know this, okay? Maybe you have never been to a proper, army fight. Neither have I, guys, yeah? Please. Yeah. Right, there's a recording, and they're going to say, training going on in the masjid, Look, we know what football is like, okay? So when you're playing football, you're told, you know, half time or whatever, you're told not to drink too much. True or not? If you fill your whole belly up, and you drink, and you drink, and you drink, how are you going to run? How are you going to run? You'll have difficulty in running. And you'll need probably to go to the toilet. It's not a good thing while you're in the football game to want to say, I'm referee, please, 2 minutes. There's not 2 minutes for you. You need to get on with your job. Now imagine, take this to the army. How's an army going forward going to drink till the bellies are full and fill in the thing? How are they going to fight after that? So anyway, this was one problem. One reason why. Second reason why is because Talut knew warfare. He knew that when you move a massive army across and you come to a river like this, if you spend too much time there, you're going to possibly get killed. Why? Because if the giants or the Palestinian sort of tyrants at the time, if they got news, which they will soon get news that a huge army is moving our way, they will come to the hills of the river. And whoever is behind the rocks and hills of the river, if you're at the bottom of the valley drinking there, and your enemies are at the top behind rocks and in the hills, they'll kill you. You've got an onslaught of arrows and things that will be thrown at you. So he understood this. So he needed to get out of that valley quickly. So when they came to that river, Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَشَرِبُوا مِنْهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِّنْهُمْ When they came there, most of them thought, man, it's so hot. Yeah? And we've had it. They were like, no way. It's got to be more than a few sips. So he allowed a few sips because you're thirsty. Fine. Take a few sips and run across the river and get to the other side. And then we're going to, you know, go across to the land we need to get into. Many of them said, ha, 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 ha. Some of them probably were doing ghusl and all sorts. Yeah, I don't know why. Yeah, they started filling their pouches and they're filling. They're obviously drinking more and more, and then they realized that Talut had already gone across with a few men. They took a few sips and they were across to the other side, and these guys were still quenching their thirst. And they realized, oh my God, what have we just done? Talut said, "You lot stay behind. You lot stay behind." Now, we don't know exact number. One sort of narration says, and this is not a strong narration, but I'm just going to put it to you, is that the actual army that he was moving forward with was 80,000. And the only people that moved across with him, the river, was 313. Okay? We don't know again with the numbers. It might, you know, again, this is not a strong narration, so... But we do know from the Quran, it says only a few of them managed to move across with Talut by taking a few sips. Now, amongst this crowd that moved across the river was a young individual, young boy, not boy, but perhaps a teenager, and his name was Dawood. This is the Dawood alayhi salam. This is how he becomes the king. I've had to give you the whole episode before this, because the Quran discusses this, and there's a beauty in this, because it tells us about seriousness. Now, one thing we've learned so far is, you know, people today, a lot of people are saying, "Man, we want something to happen to the ummah is dying, the ummah. I wish I could do something." And everyone's like, "Yeah, do this, blah 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 blah." Yeah, all these people are like the 80,000. There's only 313 amongst them that are probably... When I say 313, I don't mean literally. But I'm trying to say to you that all these people out there who are saying, screaming and shouting, the one, you know, this thing for the ummah, and bring this thing for the ummah, all these people, yap, 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 yap. It's a load of talking. And I'm serious about this. If you look at... Don't forget the ummah thing. Look, I'll tell you straightforward. You know, even in a workplace... In a workplace, yeah? I'm sure many of you have been to different workplaces. Sometimes you're fed up with what's going on in the workplace, and the boss is, or the line manager is someone that's, you know, not being so fair to everyone. And there's people, they moan, right? Workers, they moan. They say, "Man, it's not right, man. You're not right. We're doing over hours. You know, it's not right. They don't give us the break that they should do. It's not right. You know, the pay, the money, it's not, you know, not all adding up. Got bills to pay. We should do something about it." In all workplaces, you get people that are always, all the morning, workers always, employees always are doing this, yeah? Not everybody, but you get this stuff. Now when it starts, what usually happens is this. Usually the people who talk, there's loads of them. The people who go ahead and try and do something about the line manager, they put a complaint in. When they put that complaint in, they know that their job, their neck is on the line, yes or no? Because the line manager wants to say, "Okay, eh? Huh? Badmash? I mean, Badmash will teach you a lesson, eh?" If he wants to teach him a lesson, he's going to throw some paperwork over it and get rid of it. Now, what usually happens is, the few serious ones out of them, one of them, a couple of them will move ahead, and they'll put the neck on the line, they'll make a complaint, a big complaint about line manager, and all the rest of the yap-yap talkers, okay. Yeah. I'm not signing that. Seriously. I've experienced this in real life myself. They'll say, "I'm not signing that." "Yeah, you've been doing most of the talking for the last, you know, 10 years. You've been yapping along. This is the time now." Yeah, you know, inshallah. You guys go ahead, we're behind you. So what happens is, if the line manager then changes, because the big boss comes in and he says, "Look, what's going on here?" And he gets rid of, he sacks the line manager. Then these guys, the chatty ones, say, yeah, see, bro, we're behind you, man. See, yeah, we're a team." But if this one who went ahead and put the letter forward, he gets sacked, the rest of them will go, "Bah, bah, 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 bah." And after a little while, they'll start talking, chatting again about the line manager. They'll carry on, but they won't be the ones who go forward and do anything. Most people, my friend, I'm talking about these jamaats, these groups, whatever you want to call them. Most people in the Islamic world who want change, yap, 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 yap. You know what one person said? He said, "You want to have a massive Islamic, you know, change to the ummah? And you can't even make it for Fajr, brother. You can't make it for Fajr, brother, yeah? You make it for Fajr to the masjid, yeah? Or you at least get up and pray your Fajr on time, and then we'll talk about, you know, the rest of it. I'm serious about this, yeah? These guys can't even do their Fard on time. And when it comes to, like, talking about Islam, yeah, yeah. You know, they'll have the wonderful language, the words, you know, implication, interpretation, and boom, 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 boom. Half the words we won't even understand. And they'll tell you how to do it, you know, yeah, yeah. But just like Talut faced, most of them are wasters. When it comes to time, they're wasters. I said to, you know, there's an individual here in Enfield. There's a youngster who come to me and he said, Imam, we need to do something. You know, what's happening out there? We need to do something. You know, I want to go out there. I said, fine. I said, do me a favor. He said, what? I said, go home. Yeah, but before you go home, take a loaf of bread from the local supermarket or local shop. Go home. I said, tomorrow, just eat bread and water. With, you know, maybe a bit of hummus, bit of jam, bit of something else. So hummus, just put it on, bread, water, halas. I said, the next day you do that as well. Hummus and bit of bread, eat that. The next day, do that. Do for me for 2 weeks. After you come back to me, and I'll tell you what to do next. He said, why? He said, listen. I said, you ain't going out there and starting to look for your kebabs, mate. Where's the donor kebab shop here, mate? I'm missing my donor kebab shop here. You ain't going out there and saying, man, I got a phone call. Where's my beloved Wi-Fi? You know, some people, some youngsters, yeah? They're more interested in Wi-Fi than wife. And I'm saying, without Wi-Fi, there's no life. They can live without a wife, but they can't live without Wi-Fi. Now seriously, when you don't have Wi-Fi, you don't have your kebabs, you don't have your mattress, you don't have all of this, and then you have to eat hummus every day with bread, yeah? And you have to like take that, that's just the beginning of a life out there. You haven't even tasted life yet. You got no sanitary, you got no flush in the toilet. Forget toilet, you have to go out somewhere and like, look if anyone's there, no? Lift it up and just do it. When you have to go through that kind of stuff, yeah, you'll find out who you really are. Some of them are crying out there, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, my point is that, let's be serious, most of them are chat. Now here, Talut, he moves on, and amongst him is Dawud alayhi salam. فَلَمَّا جَاوَزَهُ When they crossed the River Jordan, when he crossed it, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ And the believers with them, they crossed it. قَالُوا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا الْيَوْمَ بِجَالُوتَ وَجُنُودِهِ Jalut, who is known in the Bible as Goliath, he was with his army ready for them. And when they saw the extent of Jalut and his army on the other side after crossing the River Jordan, some of them amongst them said, we've got no way of fighting Jalut Goliath and his army. And amongst the 313, there were those who had full yaqeen and conviction. قَالَ الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُ اللَّهِ Those who were absolutely certain to meet Allah. They said this amongst the army. And amongst them was Dawud alayhi salam. كَمْ مِنْ فِئَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِئَةً كَثِيرَةٌ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ How many small armies have managed to defeat large armies? How many small groups of armies have taken over large armies? بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ Because of the permission of Allah. When Allah wills something to happen, it will happen. Now Badr was a classical example. Yeah? The Battle of Badr. Where there was only again 313, there was 1,000 against them, and they managed to fight. Now we don't know how many were in the army of Jalut. But whatever the amount was, when they looked at it, they were, you know, Talut's army was in or Saul, his army was in the minority, or in a small, lot smaller, and Jalut was Goliath, who was like a giant type of person, he had an army that was way, way bigger than him. Now these people on the side of Talut added on, they said, Wallahu ma'a sabirin, the people with yaqeen and conviction, they said, Wallahu ma'a sabirin, Allah is with those who hold on to themselves. Now here look, subhanAllah, the word sabirin is used. Sabir and sabr here doesn't mean that you just stand there and you tell the other army to just whack you and beat you up and I'm doing sabr, brother. That's not sabr. Sabr here means that you hold on to yourself. You get a grip of yourself and you've got to move forward and take the army on and do what your king Talut tells you. That's what sabr means. So people don't understand always what sabr means. Sabr is fine, you have patience, but you've got to move on with your deen. So the next ayah, this is now 250. وَلَمَّا بَرَزُوا لِجَالُوتِ When they came in front of Goliath, Jalut, this huge sort of, son of like a giant type of person. He was towering over them. And he was the leader of all these armies. Now the rest of the army weren't as big as him. But he was like a giant type of figure. Now they came at war and they were fighting, but this was a monstrous person to take over. And one blow from this giant type of person, Goliath, he would take many of them out. And they had also, they had the armor, okay? They had the armor in those days, they had the shields and so on. So Jalut was well covered with his metal sort of armor. And the people with Talut, they said, Rabbana, O our Lord, أفرغ علينا صبرا, pour over us sabr, which means pour over us stability for us to bear this and go forward and do what we're supposed to do. وثبت أقدامنا, and make our feet firm on the ground. وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين, and help us against the people who disbelieve in your message. Now we don't have any description of how Dawud alayhi salam killed Jalut. No description. Allah only says, فَهَزَمُوهُمْ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ They defeated them through the permission of Allah. وَقَتَلَ دَاوُودُ جَالُوتَ And Dawud, which is Dawud alayhi salam, or David known as in the biblical sense, and Jalut, which was the Goliath, or the big type person, Dawud killed Goliath. Now that's what the Quran says and stops there. Now none of the sort of original sources got to tell us how he was killed, but we refer to the narrations of Banu Israel, and what we understand from there is that Dawood was a young individual who was well skilled in fighting, and he also had something different with him. He had this sling, and in this sling he would put a rock. So he took a few rocks with him when they were crossing over, when they crossed over River Jordan and they came over the hills. He took a few rocks from there. And while Jalut, the monstrous type of person, Goliath, was fighting, and he went for Dawud alayhi salam as well. Dawud alayhi salam was quick. So he ran in between him. And as Jalut was turning over, he ran in between him and Dawud alayhi salam was very quick for him, where he aimed with his sling. And he aimed to hit him right on the head. Now either it struck him straight through, the metal sort of, the sort of helmet or whatever you want to call it over his head. Either it hit him straight through into the eye and knocked him back, or it hit him on the forehead and so hard that the strike itself knocked him off his balance and he fell straight back onto the ground, and the moment he hit the ground, it actually knocked him out. And Dawud alayhi salam took quick advantage of this. He moved across, took his sword out, and he beheaded Jalut, Goliath. Now as soon as this was done, la ilaha illallah, the rest of the army of Jalut, Goliath said, in those days it was like this, if your leader was dead, it's like, you might as well run. Okay, so that's what they did. They ran, they fled. And this is when Banu Israel took over Palestine. And now in the biblical sense, what happens is, now we don't have to believe in all of this. In the biblical sense, now there's politics being played where Dawud alayhi salam, he retracts from this place. He goes in a quiet area and he starts to worship Allah alone. And later on, Banu Israel come and ask after Talut has his demise, they ask Dawud alayhi salam to come and rule over them. But in our Quran, we've got none of that. In our Quran, it simply says, وَقَتَلَ دَاوُودُ جَالُوتُ Dawud alayhi salam, he killed Jalut, or he killed Goliath. وَآتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكُ And Allah gave Dawood alayhi salam the kingdom. He made him the king after this. Wal hikmah, he gave him not only the sovereignty in the land, he gave him wisdom. Wa allamahu mimma yasha, and he taught him from many things that Allah willed to teach him. Walawla daf'ullahi an-nasa ba'dahum bi ba'd, if Allah did not use certain people to remove other people from the earth, la fasadatil ard, the earth or the land would have been corrupted. Walakin Allah dhu fadlin 'alal 'alamin, but Allah Azza wa Jalla, he has great bounty over the creation. That's why he does this. Now there's a big lesson here. What Allah is saying here is, Allah is saying in the Quran that if war did not take place, then you would have a huge problem on the earth. Now, by me saying this, it's like some people saying this, going to, whoa, what is he trying to say? Well, listen, Britain and America and every country of the world, whichever country you want to talk about, they're always at war. How? How are they always at war? The fact that you've got an army, the fact that you deploy your army, the fact that you've got intelligence service, the fact that you act on your intelligence, the fact that you are shifting your armies around the world, the fact that you are mobilizing them and trying to like reach peace settlements, or trying to attack, or trying to say that a country needs to go down, like right now, you know, Britain is at war with what's going on in Syria. You can't say they're not at war. Whether it's justified, not justified, a separate matter. You're at war. And the thing is, Allah has said in the Holy Quran that if there aren't people who are getting rid of others, there will be a lot of corruption. Now, I don't want to talk about the current politics right now, but I just want you to understand that sometimes what happens is you don't want a certain people to be washed away or a certain people to be attacked. But what Allah has said through here is, وَلَوْلَا دَفْعُ اللَّهِ النَّاسِ, if Allah doesn't push certain people against others to get rid of these others, then there will be corruption. What does that mean? That means Allah Himself is behind making certain things happen on the earth in terms of fights and wars, which are good for the rest of humanity. So that the rest of us can live in peace, Allah does this. And we don't know which fights Allah makes happen. And we don't know which fights Allah doesn't make happen. But we need to understand that there's a greater plan of Allah. You know, sometimes what happens is we lose sight. We look at the woods. Imagine all these pillars. You see these pillars here? Imagine these pillars are all trees. And we're in a wood. We're in the woods, yeah? We look at, okay, this tree here, that tree there. We got this tree. And we're navigating through the wood. And by looking at these trees, we get so sort of taken aback by these trees that we lose control, we lose our map of the forest. There's a larger forest, there's a larger Edmonton around these pillars. Yes or no?
Yes.
There's a larger place. So what Allah is trying to tell us is that, you know this period that's going right now, I know most of us are probably feeling that this is probably the worst part of what the Muslim Ummah has been through. But what you've got to understand is that there is definitely a plan of Allah. And we're in a small part of the woods. We only see a small part of history. Just like Yusuf alayhi salam, when he was in the well, there was only a small part of his life. If you summed Yusuf alayhi salam's life in the well, you've made a massive mistake. If you sum up Yusuf alayhi salam's life in the well, you make a mistake. If you sum his life in the prison, you make a big mistake. Because from the well, he went to the palace, or the minister's house, and from the minister's house he goes to jail. Innocent person. If you sum his life there and you say, well, so bad, look what happened, innocent person came all the way to jail, you made a big mistake. Because you don't see the next part, which is when Allah gives him victory. The same with all these prophets. If you look at certain part, you make a wrong decision. So same with our time of this ummah right now. If you conclude and say, Islam, oh my God, Muslims across the world, oh my God, this is happening. This is a small part of Allah's long future that He's going to give to this ummah. And don't conclude. We're in a bad part right now. We're in the well of Yusuf alayhi salam, or we're in the prison of Yusuf alayhi salam, however you want to look at it. But Allah will bring about a difference. So now, what happens is that Dawood alayhi salam, he becomes the king. And when he becomes the king, Allah gives him a massive kingdom. Not only that, he makes him a prophet, a prominent prophet of Banu Israel, where he's given later on Zabur. Now Zabur, we know that Torah came to Musa alayhi salam, and Zabur comes to Dawud alayhi salam. Okay, so Torah is the first one, that Allah first major revelation on the earth. Before that there had been revelation like Ibrahim alayhi salam has suhuf, you know, suhuf Ibrahim and Musa. There were scriptures given to Ibrahim alayhi salam, scriptures given to Musa alayhi salam. But there's also been scriptures before that, small pieces to the prophets. Major revelation was to Musa alayhi salam Torah, and now a new major revelation is the Psalms, or known as the Zabur, to Dawud alayhi salam. Now Dawud alayhi salam, when he had this, Subhanallah, what a wonderful thing he was given. Dawud alayhi salam had the most beautiful voice. And he used to sing the Psalms. And when he sung it, you know, he used to recite it and he used to sing it, just like we do tilawa of the Quran, right? تِلْكَ آيَاتُ اللَّهِ نَتُنُوهَا عَلَيْكَ بِالْحَقِّ. But you might hear my voice and say, nah, that's not it. That's not it. I agree with you, that's not it. There are plenty of wonderful qaris across the world. When you hear them, your heart melts, yes or no? Yeah. But it's more beautiful than that. It was so beautiful that Allah says in the Holy Quran, I'm going to give you the reference of this. This reference is in a few parts of the Quran. It was so beautiful in Surah number 38, ayah number 18:18. Allah says, "Inna sakharna al-jibala ma'ahu yusabbihna bil-ashiyyi wal-ishraqi wat-tayra mahshura." Dawud alayhi salam used to come out in the mornings and he used to sing the Psalms. And in the evenings he used to sing the Psalms. And Allah made the mountains sing along with him. That's how beautiful. And Allah made the birds come all swirling around him, mahshura, all gathered around him, just to listen to him and sing along with him. They even say, this is not in the Quran, but these two are in the Quran. The birds sing along with him and the mountains singing along with him. And we believe this to be true. However it is true, we believe it is true. And you might think, well, how does a mountain sing along? Huh? Bird, you can understand. Chip, 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 chip. But how does a mountain sing along? Well, we know from Sahih Bukhari, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that I still know a rock on one of the mountains of, you know, on the mountains of Makkah. Basically, it's probably on Mount Nur, Jabal Nur, or the Mountain of Light. He said, when I used to walk past it, it used to say to me, "Assalamu alayka ya Rasulullah." He used to say salam to me. This is a hadith in Bukhari. And a separate hadith, we have Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where he's on Mount Uhud in Medina, and with him is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, with Umar, and with Uthman. And they're on the mountain, and the mountain shakes. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam then addresses the mountain direct. Sahih Muslim narration. He says, "O mountain, why do you shake? When there's only a prophet, a siddiq, a truthful one, meaning Abu Bakr, and two shaheeds on you. First shaheed is Umar radiallahu anhu, and the second shaheed is Uthman." He already, before their deaths, he already said, "You're shaheed. You're going to be, you know, wrongly killed." To both of them, to Umar and Uthman radiallahu anhu. So we have another strong narration tell us that a mountain, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talking to a mountain. And we know from the Quran, Allah says, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. This is in Surah 17, ayah number 44. Allah says, تُسَبِّحُ لَهُ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَنْ فِيهِنَّ. The whole of the heavens and the earth and everything inside it is always remembering Allah, always praising Allah, always saying Subhanallah or saying how glorified Allah is. وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ, there is nothing on this earth that takes, except that it's actually praising Allah and singing His praise. وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ, but you cannot understand their tasbih. That's why they say, you know, even when you've got stones and so on, if you're going to move the stone from a pathway because it's going to harm someone, just move it to the side, fine. But don't just kick about stones. They say out of the adab don't kick about stones. Why? Because every stone is doing the dhikr of Allah. According to this ayah, every stone, everything is doing the dhikr of Allah. And we have here Dawood alayhi salam, that his voice was so beautiful that they are singing along with him. And they say in a narration, but this is not here. This is not in the Quran. But the fish would come right near to the riverbank just to listen to Dawood alayhi salam singing. And they say, this is in a hadith, where those people who go to Jannah, they will be given four things. Every person in Jannah will be given four things. Number one, you're going to be given, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this in a hadith of Bukhari, he said, "Tulu Adam." You'll be given the height of Adam alayhi salam. What is the height of Adam alayhi salam? He says, "Situna dhira'an," 60 feet tall. "Wasab'atu adru," he said, 7 feet wide and 60 feet tall. That's going to be my height and your height in Jannah, inshallah. Yes, subhanAllah, 60 feet tall, yeah? But don't forget, the Hurayn are not going to be 2 feet tall, yeah? But they'll be 60 foot tall as well, right? Now, that means that your dad and your granddad and your son and your grandson and you are all the same height. All the same height. And then that's number one. Number two is, everybody in Jannah is going to be given the voice of Dawood alayhi salam, which is so beautiful that you just want to listen to it again and again. A beautiful voice. Yeah. And everybody in Jannah is going to be given the age of Isa alayhi salam, which is 33. When Isa alayhi salam left the earth, he hasn't died, he's been raised to the sky, he was 33 years old. And every person in Jannah will be 33 and never older, never younger. You just stay at 33. No happy birthdays, yeah? Okay, you just have one age, alright? And everybody in Jannah is going to have the akhlaq and character of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there's no fights. And there's no trouble in Jannah. Imagine if everybody is like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in terms of their akhlaq and their character. Wow, that's why Jannah is Jannah. Okay? So these four things everybody will be given in Jannah, and one of them is Dawood alayhi salam's voice. So with that, what I would say, I mean, quite a few stories coming up with Dawood alayhi salam, and there will be a few stories coming up with Sulaiman alayhi salam. So inshallah, in the next few weeks, we'll do that inshallah. جزاكم الله خير واخر دعوانا ان الحمد لله رب العالمين السلام عليكم ورحمه الله الذكر علم ونور الحاملات سنا ونور والرسمات هنا سرور يا حلوى تلك السنين. The Safar curriculum covers all the Islamic educational needs of young Muslims today in a fun, simple and engaging way. Tried and tested for over 15 years at one of the UK's leading maktabs, the curriculum has been adopted by hundreds of institutions around the world and makes your child's journey in seeking knowledge easy, meaningful and dynamic. This innovative and comprehensive curriculum covers Quran and Tajweed, Islamic studies, du'as and surahs, as well as Arabic in an integrated and structured way. Visit safarpublications.org to find out more.